series a couple of weeks ago looking at victories of the Bible or claiming your victory. And we've looked at Paul's victorious life and how we can have a victorious Christian life based upon our motivation and our attention and our evacuation. We've looked at the victory in our circumstances. And last week we looked at Joseph's life and looked at how we can have victory over rejection, victory over oppression. We've looked at how we can have victory over all of those circumstances of our lives. And today I want to look at Exodus chapter 14 and see how we can have victory over the inescapable. Victory when this seems like there's absolutely no way out. Victory when we feel absolutely trapped, we feel like there's no way to turn, and we feel like that there is absolutely no solution other than defeat. And we can have that victory. God has saved us for a purpose. You were bought with a price. God is not going to save us then to allow us to our own devices, to allow us to live defeated lives. And oftentimes, we get ourselves into difficult situations, and by God's grace, he provides a way of escape for us. And then other times, God puts us in trying circumstances to prove us, not to prove our salvation, and not necessarily to prove us, but to prove himself to us. I'm sure it is safe to say that through this last year, we have seen God's hand in our lives. Maybe we have felt God's presence more than we've ever felt before in our Christian lives, because when everything is going smoothly, we don't always feel the need to pray as fervently as we should. We don't always feel the need to seek God's face as passionately as we should. But when we're placed in a time of difficulty, that's when we really pray. And sometimes God puts us in those inescapable positions. Sometimes he puts us in those circumstances where there is no way out, where we can't look anywhere else but up. And Moses and the children of Israel find themselves in such a situation. And in verse 10 of chapter 14, as you know, the children of Israel have come to the Red Sea. Pharaoh now regrets his decision to let the children of Israel go, and he chases them with his army and his chariots. And it says in verse 10, when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were so afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians that we would than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and he shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they may go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time together today. Thank you for the opportunity to come around your word. And Father, we do thank you for those times where we are hemmed in, those times where we feel trapped, where those times where we feel like there is no escape, because it's at those times that we see the hand of God in our lives. Father, I pray that as we find ourselves in similar situations, in similar circumstances, even today because of the events that are going on in this world, I pray that we would see your hand in our lives more than ever before, that we would feel your presence in our lives more than ever before, that we would experience the power of God in our lives like never before, and we would recognize the fact that there is victory for the child of God, even in impossible situations. So, Father, would you bless us tonight? Now we pray, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. There are many times when we have faced an impossible situation in our lives. There are many times where we feel like we've painted ourselves into a corner. There are many times when we feel like There's no way out. Whatever that situation may be, whether it's a financial difficulty, whether it's a health problem, whether it's a family issue, whether it's a spiritual problem, whether our faith is starting to falter, whether we are starting to doubt the Lord, whether our hopes have kind of vanished, whether our victory has escaped us. There are many times that we find ourselves in such positions and we don't always know what to do. Sometimes we feel like a rabbit caught in the headlights. Sometimes we feel like we are just stopped, really not knowing where else to turn or what to do. Here in Exodus chapter 14, we see exactly that with the children of Israel. They've just won a great victory. At last, after 10 plagues, Pharaoh has said to Moses, go. Go and serve your God. They were to travel 3 days away from Egypt. They were to go in to a place where the Lord would show them, and they were to sacrifice to the Lord and worship him. They've won a great victory. So you can imagine the excitement. They've come away from Egypt with great spoils. They've had off the Egyptians, and they've got plenty, and they're heading out. Maybe they're excited for this new start. They're freed from this slavery that they've endured their whole lives. And there's an excitement, there's a buzz. And then there's the first obstacle. The Red Sea is in front of them, and Pharaoh is behind them. They feel like there's no escape. There is no way out. They are caught between Pharaoh and the Red Sea. And sometimes we feel like that in life. We feel like it doesn't matter which way we turn. We just can't seem to get our head above the water. We can't seem to get out of the situation that we're in. There are times in our lives where, like the children of Israel, we face an impossible situation. But it's in those situations that we see God's hand clearer than ever before in our lives. How then do we have the victory in such impossible situations? How do we have the victory when we feel like there is no escape? First thing, in order to have the victory, is to let go of the past. Let go of the past. Look at what they said. In verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. When Moses and the children of Israel arrive at the shores of the Red Sea, they can see the armies of Egypt, behind them, and they thought they were trapped, but God had a purpose. God had a purpose. They were about to see exactly what God could do. Now, I don't know. We understand that there were some plagues that the children of Israel were affected by. There were some plagues that only affected the Egyptians and didn't touch the children of Israel. We don't know how affected they were by God's hand in the plagues. And what I mean by that is they might not have experienced firsthand what God was capable of. Okay, so the firstborn didn't die in their house because they applied the blood, and but maybe that wasn't tangible enough proof for them, so to speak. And God had a purpose. God brought them to the right place at the right time to show them exactly what he could do. But they were afraid. According to verse 10, it says that they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto God. They said to Moses, we told you this would happen. You should have left us alone in Egypt. We might not have had a great life in Egypt, but at least we knew what we had. It's like that old expression, better the devil, you know, and that's the problem. They would rather serve the devil back in Egypt than serve God in the wilderness. They would rather serve the devil back in Egypt, knowing what they were going to expect, rather than serve God and step out by faith into the unknown. And sometimes in our life, we would rather things just go back to the way they were. How many times have you said in this past year, oh, remember last Christmas? Remember being able to touch people? Remember being able to shake hands. Remember being able to sing in church. But that's not going to help us. It's not going to help us right now. We're Welsh. That's what Welsh people do. They kutch. That's what we want. We want a hug. Whether you want to stick a plastic bag on you and like dress yourself fully in PPE just so you can have a physical touch with somebody, that's what we do. We hug. But looking back on that, I said, oh, but the thing is, it was so much better back then, and it was so, yeah, it was for us. But God has got us here for a purpose. He's got us here for a reason. And we will get through it. You know, I've heard people say, oh, that's it now. It's not going to get any better than this. Well, your outlook on God is way too small. Because I know things are going to get better than this. Oh, what if the virus doesn't go away? If the virus doesn't go away, so what? Cancer hasn't gone away. We've been battling with that for years. But that doesn't stop us living our lives. You know, the vaccine is not, let me tell you something. The vaccine is not the golden bullet. The vaccine is not going to suddenly cure the whole world. It might allow us to get back to normal in some sense, but that's not where our hope is as Christians. Things will get better. Why? Because if the Lord returns for us, if these are the end days, then the next step for the church is the Lord coming back. And can I say this? Happy days. For two reasons. First of all, because it'll just simply prove the Bible to be true. And secondly, because I've still got a credit card bill to pay. And if the Lord returns before that credit card bill got to be paid, well, that's American Express's fault. So you crack on. But it will get better. You know, the thing is, we get to a position, and listen, being in lockdown is hard. I'm not diminishing the fact that being in lockdown is hard. Being stuck in the house is hard. Just having bad news every single day is hard. And it feels like we are caught between Pharaoh, between the devil that's on our back, and the Red Sea, which is stopping us going forward. But in those situations, that's when God can show his hand. That's when God can tell us, look, child, this is what I can do. He will part the Red Sea. We will get through it. Why? Because otherwise he wouldn't be true to his word. He's not left us comfortless. He's not given us the spirit of fear. He's promised to be with us always, even unto the end of the world. He said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And if I've gone to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. As a result of that promise, he said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God's got a hand in it. And we might feel trapped right now. We might feel like this thing will never go away. Let go of the past. We might never get back to normal. We might never get back to how things used to be. But we got to look forward. Looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's very hard to walk forward in a straight line when you're constantly looking over your shoulder. And if you're looking behind, you're going to be all over the place. You know, I see it all the time. Every parent that has taught a child to drive knows what I'm talking about. The minute they take their eyes off the road, oh, look at that. Stop looking over there. Just look straight ahead. Stop drifting. You're looking around and then you drift. Oh, let's put the music on. Don't put the music on. Just concentrate on the road. Look where you're going. Eve doesn't do that. That was Hannah when Hannah was learning to drive. But we do it as Christians. We do it as believers. We're meant to fix our eyes upon the Lord. The children of Israel weren't looking at the Lord. They were looking at Pharaoh. They were looking behind them. They were looking at their past. Oh, well, we were better off when we were back in Egypt. No, you weren't, because you were slaves. You were in bondage. You weren't treated right. So you weren't better off back in Egypt. You know, maybe we come to the point as Christians where we say, oh, I was better off before I was saved. That is rubbish. Don't ever allow the devil to whisper that kind of nonsense in your ear to tell you that you were better off before you got saved. Because you weren't. You were under his authority. You were under his bondage. You were in bondage to sin. And Christ, when you accept him as your Savior, sets you free. Now, that doesn't mean that our path will be completely plain sailing until we get home to glory. But that's how we grow. That's how we develop as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. You imagine, Julian is a paramedic. You imagine if Julian never ever had a single 999 call. He never went to any call at all. How much of a paramedic would he be? Because he's never done anything. Does that make sense? It's the same with any of us in our jobs. You know, if Andrew never laid a line of bricks, how would he ever be expected to build anything as a builder? It's all from experience. Sometimes God puts us in difficult situations and difficult circumstances that we don't have a plain sailing kind of life, because it's in those situations, it's in those difficulties, it's in those circumstances that we grow, that we learn to trust him more. There is victory even in an inescapable situation. There is victory even when we feel like we are hemmed in. But you know what happens when we find ourselves in those situations? We do the exact same thing that the children of Israel do. We want somebody to blame. We want to lash out at anybody. We're in a difficulty. We're in a bind. Hey, listen. You know, regardless of how long you've been married, maybe this is the first time that you've spent this much time with one another because you're on lockdown. And you argue. Sometimes we don't, but I've heard that people argue. The point is this, that when we find ourselves in a bit of a bind, we just want to lash out at somebody. Anybody, it doesn't matter who it is, as long as they're there, you'll do. And that's who we take it out on. Moses just happened to be the one that was there. Moses seems to be the kind of the vocal person. Moses seems to be the focal point, so we'll just take it on him. Moses, it's your fault. You brought us into the wilderness, regardless of the fact that it was God that brought them there. Moses, it's your fault. You didn't listen to us. You should have left us back in Egypt. It's all you are doing. It's funny how we concentrate on the wrong things, and we look at the wrong things when we're in a bind. We ought to be looking to the Lord. Don't find somebody to blame. Don't find somebody to lash out to take your frustration and your anger out on them. Turn to the Lord. Faith always looks beyond our difficulties. Faith always looks to the Lord. Unbelief prefers other circumstances except the one that you were in right now. The Jews blamed Moses. Thou hast taken us away today. Focus on man. Trials motivate us to blame others if we're not careful. But God shall supply all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The path of faith is not easy. The path of faith is not smooth. Faith has to be tested in order that we can learn the sufficiency of God. God wants us to learn the fact that he'll supply all of our needs. How do we know that he'll supply all of our needs? Until we have a need in the first place. How do we know that he'll give us the strength we need until we're weak? How do we know that he'll actually comfort our hearts until we mourn? How do we know that he'll enable us to walk until we've come to the end of ourselves and we feel like we can't go on? How do we know that he'll pick us up unless we fall down first? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, Ephesians 3:20 says. So many times we give up, throw in the towel, as it were, from a spiritual point of view. We feel like we're hemmed in. Well, there's no way out, so what's the point? But we're not to be conformed to this world. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you want victory when you're in an inescapable position, let go of the past. Stop looking back. Don't look at, if you got yourself in that position, there's nothing you can do about it. You know, Joe says that to me all the time. If something has happened, I'm like, oh, I can't believe this has happened. Joe's like, what difference does it make now? Worrying about how we got here is not going to solve anything. And it's not. We can't do anything about it. We're here. We're in this position. How do we go forward now? We're not going to fix it by looking at the past. Israel wasn't going to get out of this inescapable position by simply wishing that they were back in Egypt. If you want the victory when you're in an inescapable position, then look to your faith. Moses said in verse 13, unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Moses said to them, don't be afraid, fear ye not. Don't allow the enemy to keep you in confinement of fear. Fear is not of the Lord. He's not given us the spirit of fear. The enemy wants to keep you entangled, wants to snare you up. Fear is a mind thing. And I know sometimes, if somebody's got a phobia and if somebody's got arachnophobia and they're scared of spiders, and I know sometimes that fear is irrational. It doesn't matter how many times you say, look, there's nothing to worry about. I'm not a massive fan of spiders. I'm not a massive fan of spiders. I don't mind the ones with really small bodies and spindly legs. They're okay. They're just a daddy long legs without wings. But the big ones, man, there's a lot of big spiders in the church. Old building. Sometimes fear is irrational. Now, we got everything we need to combat every aspect of fear that we could ever face in our spiritual lives. But the devil tries to get us to bypass this. There's been many times over the past few months that we've been fearful. And we're fearful as a lack of faith. Now, that doesn't mean, oh, you shouldn't be scared of anything. And, that's not what it means. Courage is not an absolute absence of fear. Courage is doing something anyway in the strength of God, even when we are a little bit afraid. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love. And of love and of a sound mind. It doesn't matter how many times the devil tries to plant the device of fear in your spirit. Just stand boldly upon God's promise. When the devil whispers in your ear, oh, you should be scared stiff. Yeah, but I understand that. But that's not what God's word says. That's not what God can do for me. Israel didn't believe that God would bring them out. Why would God save them from all of those years of bondage in Egypt? Why would God bring them to the Red Sea only to allow them to be destroyed by the Egyptians? They didn't believe God would bring them out. In spite of all that he'd done for them, in spite of all that they'd heard, if they'd not seen it directly, all they'd heard about the plagues that had taken place in Egypt. They didn't believe that God would see them through. In spite of all that God has done for us, in spite of all the difficulties he's brought us through, in spite of all the obstacles he's cleared for us, in spite of all the power that we've seen him work in our lives, in spite of all that he's done, we still have those moments when we don't allow our faith to operate like it should. All of us are going to experience a time when we have to be rescued. You know, if we think that we can get through this and we don't need God and we don't need God to intervene, and what are we doing? Why would we think that we could go through life not having to rely upon God? God saved us. We're part of the family. You know, regardless of, you know, where our kids are or what they're up to, or they're our kids. You suddenly don't stop worrying about them because, you know, they've moved away or because they've grown up or because they're still your kids. Do you think that once we are saved, we become a part of God's family, as it were? We become a child of God, and then God just says, right, okay, that's it, now off you go. No. All of us are going to experience a time when we have to be rescued. And those are the times when the Lord comes alongside us and says, child, fear not. Fear not. I'll take care of you. We'll get through this. We have a choice today, the same as the children of Israel had. We can either give up or we can give in. But here's the thing. We do need to give up. Sometimes you just need to give up. I don't mean throw in the towel. Sometimes we need to give up our will and give in to God's will. Sometimes we need to give up our ways and give in to God's ways. We need to give up our plans and give in to God's plans. We need to give up our strength and give in to God's strength. We need to give up on trying to work things out and give in to just simply trust in the Lord. Moses said, stand still. That's the last thing we want to do. When we're in a difficult situation, the last thing we want to do is stand still. Because we feel like we need to do something. Yeah, when the kids were little, you know, if they ever hurt themselves, it was hopeless to any time, you know, they fell or they cut themselves or anything like that. It was useless. I didn't like to see them in pain or to see them hurt. And you know, when they were, you know, Eve had terrible, when she was younger, she had terrible problems with her chest, and she used to suffer with croup all the time. And sometimes it would frighten you stiff in the night when she just couldn't get her breath and couldn't breathe. And the noise that she used to make was horrendous. Sorry, Eve. Yeah, it was worse than that. And you'd just be like frightened stiff. And Joe would say, don't just stand there, do something. I'd be like, what do you do? What do you do? Well, we worked out what to do in the end, and some boiling water on the pans, get the steam going, happy days. But in those situations, you would just be like, don't just stand there, do something. And you're like, well, yeah, I don't know what I should do. I'm trying not to stand there, I'm trying to do something, but I really don't know what to do. Sometimes we feel like that when we're in a spiritual bind. I should be doing something. How do I work my way out of this? How do I get out of this situation? How do I, you know, how do I put this right? What have I got to do? And sometimes the answer is exactly the opposite of what we think we should do. Moses said, stand still. He didn't say, don't just stand there, do something. He said, don't just do something, stand there. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Why run around when you don't know where you're going? Why run around when you don't know what you're doing? Sometimes we just have to stand by faith until we're able to walk by faith. Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. With waiting comes a renewed faith. With waiting comes a renewed strength. With waiting comes a renewed zeal. When we look to our faith and we depend upon the Lord and we trust in Him, and He'll strengthen our hearts, He'll strengthen our mind, He'll strengthen our will, He'll strengthen our emotions. Sometimes we just need to stand still and see God's hand work in our lives. He's promised to never leave us and to never forsake us. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. We don't understand why we get to those positions where Pharaoh is behind us and the Red Sea is before us. We don't understand why we get to these inescapable situations in our lives. Sometimes we just need to hear the Lord say to us, listen, I've brought you out in times past. I'll bring you through this again. If we never came to a Red Sea in our lives, we'd never see God's power imparted in that Red Sea. We would never know what God was capable of unless we first stood on the brink of the waters. He wants us to trust him. We don't always understand why, but God has not said, child, I want you to understand why. God has said, child, I just want you to trust me. If we want to have victory, we need to let go of the past. We need to look to our faith, and we just need to launch forward. Step out. You say, well, that's daft because you just told us to stand still. What do you want us to do? Stand still or launch forward? Verse 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. We've got to learn to go forward in the things of God. We've got to stand still and stop trying to do things ourselves. We've got to stand still and stop relying upon the flesh. And we've got to launch forward in the things of God. If you really want to go forward, you've got to learn how to move at his command. You've got to learn to go forward in his presence, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. When Nebuchadnezzar said to them, look, if you don't bow down to this image, then you're going straight in the fire. And they said, okay, if that's God's will, into the fire we'll go. But regardless of whether or not God delivers us, we will not bow down and worship you with image. But if they had never come to that inescapable situation, they were literally stuck. If they bowed down, then they would obviously break the commands of God and they would go against God's word. If they stood up, they'd be in trouble with the king. So they were in an unwinnable situation. But they had victory because they launched forward. But if they'd never come to that inescapable position, they would never have known the absolute incredible presence of God with them in the fire. You know, when we move at his command, when we learn to go forward, then we learn to go forward in his power. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But how do we know we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me if we never come to a position where we need to rely upon his power to give us the strength to do it? We've got to learn to move at his command and learn to go forward in his promise, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Sometimes we'll come to a Red Sea in our lives. And sometimes Pharaoh's army will be right behind us. Can I say that just all you have to do is launch forward? You just keep going on with the Lord. You don't come to a point where you pack it all in because things have gone sideways. You don't come to a point where you throw in the towel because things are not going according to your plan. They're not meant to go according to our plan. They're meant to go according to his plan. And we don't always understand it. We can't comprehend it, why certain things happen to us. We can't comprehend it, why we lose a loved one. We can't comprehend it, why we didn't get a promotion. We can't comprehend it when we're put in a difficult situation in work or at home or with a family member or whatever it might be. And God has not asked us to always understand it. He's just asked us to trust him. There's loads of things that have gone on in my life that I didn't understand. Why did that happen? Why have I gone through that? And I still don't understand why they've happened. But God's not asking us to understand it. God's just saying, trust me. Trust me, I'll part the Red Sea for you. Maybe you've gone through something that you never thought you would ever be able to get over, that you never thought would, that your world was absolutely collapsing because of it. But it was a Red Sea moment in your life. And you look back now and you think, wow, my faith has become so much stronger because I saw God part that Red Sea in front of me. You can have victory over those inescapable moments of our lives. We can have victory over those circumstances where we feel like there is absolutely no way out. The crossing of the Red Sea in our lives is for a purpose, because on the other side, our faith may be stronger. Our song may be louder. Our prayer time more frequent. Our position with the Lord closer. Just simply because we've been brought to our knees. We say it's impossible, but God says all things are possible. We say I'm too tired, but God says I'll give you rest. We say nobody loves me, but God says I love you. We say nobody cares, but God says I care. We say we can't go on, but God says my grace is sufficient. We say I can't figure this out, but God says I don't want you to figure it out. I just want to direct your paths. We say I can't do it. God says you can do all things. We say I am unable, but God says I know, but I am able. We say I'm not worth it, but God says it will be worth it. We say I can't forgive myself, but God says I forgive you. We say I can't afford to do it. God says you can't afford not to do it, because I'll supply all your needs. Let go of the past. There's nothing we can do about yesterday. It's gone. Look to your faith. Look at what God has already done for us thus far. And launch forward. Keep going on with the Lord. Keep on keeping on. Just press towards the mark. Keep going. Why does God allow these things to happen in our lives? Sometimes it takes a tight spot for us to be in order for us to look up. Why is this going on in the world today? I don't know. Maybe the Lord is trying to get the church's attention to say, look, you've been too comfortable for far too long. Maybe it's time for revival to come, but in order for revival to come, I need my people to pray. And in order for my people to pray, you need to be put in a situation where you're a bit scared, because you've had it far too easy for far too long. Launch forward. We can't cross the Red Sea in our own strength. But God will always part the waters for us. We can have the victory even in those inescapable situations. When we feel like there's no way out, God will make a way. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together tonight and for this opportunity to come around your word. Father, we recognize the fact that there are many times in our lives, even right now, we feel like we are facing an inescapable situation. We feel like there may not be any hope for tomorrow in this world in which we live. But we recognize the fact that there's a greater power and control of all things than that of our government. Father, we don't look to them for our help or our hope. Our hope is not in a press conference. Our hope is not in a scientific announcement. Our hope's not even in a vaccine. Our hope is in the Lord. And Father, I just pray that you'd help us as we come to this situation in our lives where we feel like there's no way out and there's no escape. Help us to realize that you will always make a way, that you will part our Red Seas. And as a result, we'll see your mighty hand working in our lives. So, Father, I just pray that whatever the need is here tonight, you know each heart here this evening, you know what people are facing, you know what difficulties people are up against, whether it's anxiety being locked down and in this situation, whether it's a fear because of a health concern, whether it's a mourning at the loss of a loved one, maybe it's worry financially because of job insecurities, whether it's just a lack of hope, as it were, because we don't see things moving as swiftly as we would like them to. I prayed you'd help us. Prayed you'd help us to just simply lean upon your strength. I prayed you'd help us to be still in those areas of our lives where we need to be still so that we can see your hand. And I prayed you'd help us to launch forward when it comes to pressing towards the mark in our walk with you. So, Father, would you help every single person that is struggling with something tonight? Would you speak to their hearts? Would you comfort them to tell them that you will part their Red Sea, that you will get them through? we recognize the fact that that doesn't mean that you take us out of the circumstance that we find ourselves in. That doesn't mean that the situation just suddenly goes away. It just means you will give us the strength we need when we're there. You will give us the guidance we need to get through it. You'll give us the help we need because we simply just can't help ourselves. So, Father, would you speak to our hearts tonight? Whatever the need is of you, your children listening to this message this evening, would you just speak to our hearts? Would you help us? Would you encourage us? And would you enable us to continue to launch forward? We pray and ask these things in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, Joe and Eve are going to come now, and we're going to sing. We'll sing, how many verses, Steve? We'll sing, there are two verses. All right, we'll sing two verses, and then we'll come around the Lord's table and we'll sing another verse to close out.
You chose the cross with every breath, the perfect life, the perfect death. You chose the cross, a crown of thorns you wore for us, and crowned us with eternal life. You chose the cross, and though your soul was overwhelmed,
forgiven, that we've been restored. You know what was lost in the Garden of Eden? That perfect fellowship with God, that communion with God. That's what fellowship means, that closeness with the Lord. In the Garden of Eden, that was lost. Oh, when Adam and Eve sinned, they broke that fellowship. They broke that sweet communion with the Lord. And it would never be the same again. Until Christ gave his life upon the cross of Calvary so that we could be reconciled to God. What was lost in the Garden of Eden was gained upon the cross of Calvary. What was lost in the Garden of Eden, that separation from God, was rectified at the cross of Calvary. We don't deserve to have communion with God. We don't deserve to have that fellowship. We don't deserve salvation. You know, I said before that there are many things that I don't understand why certain things have happened in my life. Do you know what I understand the least? Salvation. I don't understand why God would save me. Not worth anything. I don't understand why God would save a wretch like me. I don't understand why God would take me out of the miry clay and put my feet upon solid ground. I don't understand it. But I'm thankful for it. There's nothing within any of us that can earn a place in heaven. It's all because of God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's it. That's the grace of God. How incredible to think that the Lord Jesus Christ would give up everything to come to this earth. To come to a people, he came unto his own and his own received him not. He was despised and rejected. A man of sorrows, as was sung this morning, and acquainted with grief. And yet he died upon the cross for us. He gave his life for us. And when we come around the communion table, you know, sometimes we can do that flippantly. You know, I understand communion is not what it usually is because of the regulations and the restrictions that have been put in place. But that doesn't mean we come around the table flippantly. That we come around the table because we're using a little plastic cup instead of the glass cups we normally use. That's not the purpose of communion. We remember what the Lord did for us. We're reminded of what he gave up for us. We're reminded of the price that he paid for us. The sacrifice that he made for us. And sometimes I am a bit lost in wonder of what he did for us. And you consider all that the Lord suffered physically in the beatings that he endured, what he suffered in his body. You realize what the Lord suffered spiritually as he was forsaken by his Father. When you realize what the Lord suffered materially and what he gave up to come to this sin-cursed earth to pay the price for our sins. And he did it even if only one person would call upon his name for salvation. God's love knows no bound. Can I just say this tonight before we ask a blessing on the bread? If you were here tonight listening to this message, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to do that right now. There is no hope without Christ. You might be fearful of what tomorrow holds, but can I say this? There is no hope tomorrow for those who are lost without Christ. But if you know Christ as your Savior, you know what he gave up for you. You know how much he loves you because God commendeth his love towards us. He demonstrated his love towards us. He proved his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us upon the cross of Calvary. Would you call on his name tonight before it's too late? For those who are saved, we recognize when we come around the communion table, as we take the bread and we break it, we recognize the fact that our sin placed Christ upon the cross. That he was wounded for our transgressions. They didn't die for his transgressions. He didn't die for his sins because he had no sin. He knew no sin. He could not sin. But he died for our sins. On that night that the Lord was betrayed, he took the bread And he said that this was his body which was broken for us. Let's just ask a blessing upon the bread at this time. Father, we thank you for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that was beaten and battered and broken for us. We recognize the fact that it was not three nails that held the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary. It was simply love that held him there. And Father, we just pray that as we come around the table tonight, as we partake of the bread, we recognize what you suffered physically so that we might have an eternity in heaven, that our sins might be forgiven. And Father, we pray that you would enable us and help us to never take your sacrifice for granted, as it were. Help us to realize the price that was paid. Salvation might be free, but it certainly wasn't cheap. So Lord, would you just bless us now as we partake of this bread, remembering what you did for us. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. On the night that the Lord is betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." The hymnist wrote, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, our sin can't be forgiven. But Christ shed his blood upon the cross of Calvary. As we said this morning, we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. A lamb without spot, a lamb without blemish. Just before the children of Israel came out of Egypt, that night of the Passover, they had to have a lamb that was without blemish. It couldn't have been lame, or there couldn't have been anything wrong with it. It had to be, for all intents and purposes, a perfect lamb of the flock. Can I say this, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the most perfect lamb. He doesn't just cover our sins, they are removed. How incredible is that, that there's that much power in the blood of Christ, that God, who is omniscient, who knows all things, actually chooses to remember our sins no more. I got a bad memory. But isn't it unfortunate that we can remember those that have done us wrong or those that have hurt us, or and there's certain things in our lives we struggle to get over. And yet God, who is omniscient, who knows every single sin that we've ever committed, because of the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, chooses to remember our sin no more. When God looks at us, he doesn't see our sin. He sees the blood of his Son. He sees the price that was paid for our lives, for our souls. Don't tell me that there's no power in the blood of Christ. Let's ask a blessing on the cup. Father, we thank you again for this time together tonight. And as we partake of this cup, we recognize that it is a symbol of the blood that was shed for us. And Father, we're thankful for the fact that we've applied that blood to our hearts and lives, and that our sins have been forgiven, that our transgressions have been removed as far as the east is from the west. And Father, I'm thankful for the blood of Christ, which cleanseth us from all sin. So, Father, would you just help us now as we remember all that you did for us upon the cross. Help us to never take that sacrifice for granted. And we pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. On that night that the Lord was betrayed, he took the cup and told his disciples that this cup was a new covenant, that this blood was a new covenant. He told us to drink this in remembrance of him. Only until he comes. One day, faith will be done away to sight when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. But until then, we drink this cup in remembrance of the sacrifice that he made for us. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this night and this time together. Thank you for all that you have done for us. We're so grateful for the opportunity to come around your table, even in a time of difficulty. But Father, there was no more difficult time than the first century church, when the church was persecuted to the point where people and the disciples, all of them but John, losing their lives in such horrendous ways. And yet they were able to come around the Lord's table on that first day of the week and remember all that you had done for them. So Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts more clearly today than ever before in our Christian walk, because of the difficulties we find ourselves in. Help us, Lord. Help our faith to be like stronger than it's ever been. Help our prayer life to be more committed than it's ever been. Help our witnessing to be more fervent than it's ever been. And Father, help our walk with you to be straighter than it's ever been before. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for all that you've done for us. We just pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, I'll ask Joe and Eve to come back up. Now we sing the last verse of that hymn, and then we'll close in a word of prayer. Amen. All right, okay. I see what you've done now. So we'll do the second verse. Okay.
You loosed the cords of sinfulness and broke the chains of my disgrace. You chose the cross, and from the grave victorious, you rose again so glorious. You chose the cross, the sorrow that surrounded you. Not my will, but yours be done. And you cried, I'm lost in wonder, I'm lost in love, I'm lost in praise for evermore, because of Jesus' unfailing love. I am forgiven,
so much again for this time together tonight. Thank you for the opportunity we have to come and gather in this place, to come around your word. And Father, we're thankful for the victories you give us, even in those situations we face in life that seem completely impossible, that seem inescapable. And Father, I pray that whatever Red Sea somebody is facing tonight, I pray that you would just give them the peace to know that you will part it. I pray that you would give them the hope to know that they can get through it, not because of anything they do, but because of who you are and because of what you can do in our lives. So, Father, would you help us tonight? Help us to claim the victory that has already been won for us upon the cross of Calvary. And we'll just be mindful to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise for it. We love you so much. And we pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.